This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. As the new state legislature starts to build momentum, one item on the agenda is fixing how state agencies do contracts. There is a scandal now in Austin over multiple multi-million dollar contracts that have been provided with no bids, and there are questions if political influence had anything to do with these deals. How did this go on for so long, and was there an actual effort to block an investigation into these deals? We're going to try to break down this controversy and help explain the players and their roles. We invite you to call in with your questions and comments about the no-bid scandal that is rocking Austin right now. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org, tweet us at tprsource. Our guests this half hour are two journalists that have been digging into this and breaking news and covering the facts, Brian Rosenthal, Austin reporter for the Houston Chronicle, and Terry Langford, a reporter at the Texas Tribune. Welcome, both of y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Terry, you're at the Texas Tribune. I mean, how big a deal is this? Do y'all guys go, this is going to be great, man. This is a great scandal. Or is it because it seems like most people, we read about these things, and I read it in the paper and on your website, and I'm kind of like, this looks bad, but is it really that bad?
I think it is. I think what we're learning as we're going, and I think Brian will chime in anywhere, Brian, but I mean, what we're finding is a lot about what we didn't know about contracting, and that it doesn't have hard and fast rules. It's up to agencies on whether or not they set them out for bid in a competitive bidding process. And just to be clear on this case with 21CT, what we're talking about, this contract came from a catalog that a lot of people use in state government from the DIR. It's an agency that has a list of services or IT services that have been pre-cleared and competitively bid to be in the catalog. But agencies go there first because they're getting a better deal. These are companies that give a certain price, and this is where the state agencies come.
21CT, they call themselves a small business on their website, but they're a multi-million dollar organization in Austin. They do software analytics and cybersecurity. Right, Brian?
That's right. They have existed since the late 1990s, and until very recently, their business was almost exclusively with the federal government for cybersecurity services. A couple of years ago, they decided they wanted to get into the Medicaid fraud business, into the detection of Medicaid fraud business, I should say. And so they decided that the state of Texas would be their first customer, and they are their first, well, were, I guess, now that the contract has been canceled, their first customer in Medicaid fraud. But it was a very large part of their business. It is a relatively small business compared to the data giants that are out there, like Xerox or Verizon or SAS, companies like that. This was a company that had to lay off almost half of its staff after this contract was canceled. So that should give you an idea of how big a deal this contract was, at least to that company.
Medicaid fraud, how big of a deal is Medicaid fraud in Texas, Terry?
It's a constant problem. Hundreds of millions of dollars are lost every year through different providers, either through overpayments and, you know, accidental overpayments, or through sort of fraud networks that do exist in the state of Texas, where companies are created primarily to hit a certain weak area in the Medicare or Medicaid system. And to be clear, Medicaid, which is what we're talking about in this case, Medicaid is what the state, the money that passes through and comes to the state through HHSC. Medicare is a federally administered program that comes through Washington.
Right. So we have
Medicaid is funded half by the federal government in addition to half by the state government.
Right.
And the money comes from the money is coming from the Center of Medicaid and Medicare Services. It comes through that, but the feds have have the states run their Medicaid programs.
But so the Medicaid fraud, is that from unscrupulous medical agencies that are overbilling the government, Terry?
It could be that. It can be oversight. It can be different interpretations from providers. But we've seen in recent years that there are certain areas that are really prone to fraud. We've seen it in the home health care industry, the ambulance industry, durable medical products, things like splints that you get reimbursed for, or you go through Medicaid to get them paid for. We've seen several areas that have been hit time and again.
Now, the dentists that were picking up children and giving the silver teeth, is that another one, Brian?
Absolutely. Although there are a lot of questions about how much fraud was actually taking place in that
particular
case.
Okay. So there's a lot of money sloshing around in the Medicaid fraud field, and so we're going to go towards the state of Texas says we need to find somebody to track this down, a cyber sleuth who can figure this all out, and somehow they get to 21CT. But 21CT, are they an expert in this field, Brian?
Well, again, they had been a cybersecurity company and apparently successful at that, and they have said that they were sought out by Jack Stick, this official at the Office of Inspector General, which is in charge of rooting out the fraud. So the company says that they were actually contacted by the state official, and told, hey, we have this big project. We want to try and find this fraud. Even though you haven't done any Medicaid fraud before, why don't you take a shot at this project? And the state official also, according to the company, chose the manner in which this contract would be awarded, which was, as Terry mentioned, through this catalog of pre-approved products. 21CT, the company, had a product on that catalog, and so it allowed the state and the company to reach this deal without having to go through a formal competitive bidding process that would have taken months and cost a lot of money. They figured, let's just do this ourselves right now.
Right. They have a program called Torch that was able to look into the Medicaid system and see where the money is flowing and all the different players and how they're connected together, looking at the matrix of different suppliers. And it's pretty interesting.
I mean, what they were delving into, and that there are, and to be clear, there are a lot of data analytics companies out there. Different states use different ones. The Obama administration has, gotten a lot of ink and a lot of airtime in the last few years, talking about how they are looking more and more for predictive analytics. That's what the inspector general here in Texas was supposedly looking for, something that instead of paying out Medicaid providers and then chasing them down later when you discover an overpayment.
Terry, we got to take a break.
More predictive.
We're going to continue this. We're going to take a quick break. Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment about a scandal in Austin about no-bid contracts worth millions and millions of dollars, the number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a scandal that is working its way through Austin. It's been going on for a while here and there. We learn more details. We've seen four resignation of officials, and more could be coming. There are calls for more resignations as well. There have been investigations and halted investigations as well. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment, we're talking to two of the hotshot reporters that are on the trail of this developing story, Brian Rosenthal, Austin reporter for the Houston Chronicle, and Terry Langford, reporter at the TexasTribune.org. So, Terry, we've seen some resignations and one firing. Can we call it Doug Wilson, who was the inspector general for the Health and Human Services? He was fired, right, by Rick Perry?
I think when Rick Perry asks you to resign and you do, I think it's safe to say it's a firing.
Okay, so why was he fired?
He was the person in charge of the inspector general's office. And so ultimately he is responsible for the contracts made. And there have been several questions, as Brian's laid out, about the relationship between his deputy at the time, who eventually became the chief lawyer for HHSC, Jack Stick, and that relationship, how well they knew the contractor who was selected without a bid. And that's 21CT.
And Doug Wilson had some very contentious hearings, committee hearings in Austin in November. They were asking him, why have there been no prosecutions for Medicaid fraud in Texas? And some of the state representatives saying that he was not representing himself well in those cases. Brian, do you recall that?
That's right. And I think it's safe to say that for Doug Wilson, this scandal, as bad as it is not the only reason why he was forced out. He has had a rough tenure as the Inspector General. And part of the reason why is, as what we alluded to earlier, was this big controversy over potential fraud of dentists and payment holds that were put on a dentist. Some thought that there were payment holds that were put in place on dentists that had done nothing wrong. And so there was a lot of controversy about that. There was a lot of questions about the results that the Inspector General was getting. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why they wanted to do this deal with 21CT and do it so quickly, because they were facing a lot of pressure already and a lot of questions.
So let's get back to Jack Stick. He came up earlier. He was the top attorney for the Health and Human Services. He resigned, and his wife also worked there. Erica Stick, she resigned as well, correct, Terry?
She did. She did. Erica was chief of staff for HHSC Commissioner Kyle Janik, although she decided to resign after she was put on administrative leave. Several employees were put on administrative leave once the investigations were launched. The whole idea was so that, you know, that there would be no questions about anyone influencing the investigators who had ties to some of the people who had resigned or had been forced out.
But when you got the husband and wife team in such prominent positions in this department, that kind of, you know, the red flags start flying pretty high up there, don't they, Brian?
They do, and Janik, Kyle Janik, the executive commissioner over there, has said that he regrets the way in which he put in Jack Stick as the top lawyer. Erica Stick was already in place as his chief of staff, and he installed Jack Stick without any sort of an application process. He just chose her. There were questions about that, and amazingly, there are a lot of questions and a lot of relationships of husband and wives in power at the Health and Human Services Commission. We mentioned Doug Wilson. His wife works in contracting at the Department of Family and Protective Services, a sister agency. And then we have Casey Haney, who had been a legislative aide to Kyle Janik. His partner also works at the agency. So I think these family connections are part of the reason why lawmakers have been so concerned about everything that's happened. It just raises red flags, as you said.
Now, Jack Stick also had another issue. He was hit with a DWI, wasn't he, Terry?
Yes, he was, and that case is yet to come up to be prosecuted. It's still in the court system.
Right. So the interesting thing about him having a DWI is because we had a Travis County DA who also got a DWI. And
correct.
That brought about Governor Rick Perry using that as a justification to veto funds for the Public Integrity Unit, which was looking into, cases of malfeasance and peculiarities in Austin. And that kind of traces back to some of these no-bid contracts. I don't, if not, not for, for this for the health agency, but more for the DPS. So can you unravel that for us, Terry?
Well, I think Brian's the expert on that.
Okay, Brian, let's
so
go.
I'll let Brian go that one.
Thanks for giving me the hard one. That's real nice of you.
That was easy, and you know it.
it's a complicated deal, but when Rick Perry issued his veto of the funding, that veto that has led him to be indicted, an indictment he is still fighting as ridiculous and politically motivated, but did get him indicted. That veto, it turns out, we learned last week, shut down an investigation that that unit, that public integrity unit, whose funding he vetoed, was looking into. And they happened to be looking into no-bid contracts, in this case at the Department of Public Safety. It was contracts for border security services with a Virginia defense contractor called Abrams Learning. But that investigation was shut down because they didn't have enough money after the veto. And some watchdogs and lawmakers say, you know, maybe if they had finished that that investigation, there would have been more attention on the no-bid contracts issue, and we could have avoided some of the problems we're having today.
Yeah, but there's been some really good reporting about these questions about the Abrams Learning contracts going back a couple of years, and it seems like the legislature has not been very aggressive in trying to shore that up. And I think and they declare these contracts emergencies in order to get around the bidding process, Brian.
Yeah, there are a couple of ways that you can get around the bidding process under Texas state law, and one of them is if you declare an emergency. And yes, there was a lot of attention at the time. The state auditor had done an audit about the contracting at the Department of Public Safety. A state senator out in El Paso, Jose Rodriguez, asked the comptroller's office to look at these contracts. Comptroller Susan Combs did do that. But this other more formal, more criminal investigation that was kind of sparked by all of these other concerns had not been known about, actually, until last week. People just didn't know that the Public Integrity Unit was looking into this as well.
And these are contracts.
There's two things.
Go ahead, Terry.
I was just going to say, there's two things, two big issues here. You know, there's the letting out of the contracts and how does the state do it. And there's also the sort of maintenance of the contracts once they're let out. And there seems, I mean, from what we see so far, and you know, just as a reminder, that's a small portion of all the contracts that are out there. But what we see so far is there's no one really watching them once they go out and making sure that they don't go from a dollar to $20 million overnight.
Yeah, I saw that initially the $20 million contract for these 21CT, and then they were going to re-up it to like $90
million. Right.
So that's like, how do you go from there to there so quickly?
Yeah. I mean, if you want a more dramatic example, more dramatic than $20 million to $90 million, you can look at the AT&T contract for telephone services over the Health and Human Services Commission. An audit came out about this a couple weeks ago. That contract started at $1 million and was going to go to $100 million, or maybe even a little bit more. I don't remember the details. But so this is definitely something that is a problem and happens in, you know, more than just this one case.
So the politics of this, we know that 21CT did give Greg Abbott $10,000, which he gave back during his campaign. But is there a lot of, do these people hire a lot of lobbyists? Is that what's going on here, Terry?
Well, you know, every company, you know, large companies that want to do business are going to have a lobbyist. That's not new for any of this. I think all of us are just drilling down a little further right now on these relationships that we're seeing and sort of the revolving door. I mean, we have a couple of people involved in the HHSC who are former lawmakers coming back. These relationships are forged, and they're hiring, you know, people they knew, you know, Casey, the deputy assistant to Erica, was also, you know, both a staff member for both Janik and Stick when they were both in the legislature. So I think we're drilling down on relationships. We're drilling down on, you know, who knows who and where the money's going right now.
So, but fixing these contracts and the reforms that are being talked about now in Austin in the new legislative session, mm-hmm. this seems like trying to get back to governance 101. I mean, this is the stuff that it's like basic foundational items, right, Terry?
I think there are. I mean, it's you know, I don't want to make light of this, but to hear agencies talk about, oh, we're now going to set a threshold for, you know, we're going to need more signatures on anything over 25,000, or we're going to need anything over this for X is going to require more oversight. Why that hasn't been happening, it's a great question.
But weren't those already in place, Brian, but they just found workarounds?
Yes and no. I think the biggest proposals that have been that have actually been implemented so far, biggest policy changes, are over at the Health and Human Services Commission. Now, any contract that is over $25,000 through this DIR process, or any contract in general that's over $1 million, needs the sign off of the executive commissioner. And again, it's a situation. It's something where you think about. There have been projects worth more than $1 million that the executive commissioner has just not known about. You know, that is something that wasn't in place. But yeah, I mean, some of this is that the DIR process is a workaround, some competitive bidding, or the great expansion of a contract from $1 million to $100 million is a workaround regulations that are in place if a contract is over a certain size. But it also is that the regulations themselves, according to the lawmakers and the watchdogs, are they don't even have to work around them because they're so weak as it is.
All right.
Right.
Thanks.
I mean, they're dealing mostly with suggestions. The fact that 21CT, no matter how it went out, the fact that it was suggested and not required for it to be competitively bid, i.e., once you select some vendors on the DIR, go ahead and then
competitively. So something was up. Something is up there. Okay, and hopefully we'll check on your reporting to find out what develops. I want to thank both of our reporters, Brian Rosenthal at the Houston Chronicle, Terry Langford, TexasTribune.org. This is The Source on KSTX.